If you have a Bible with you, turn with me to Numbers 25. We are taking a brief hiatus from our Through the Bible series. We've been through the Bible series for, over a year, taking one book per Sunday, and we're in the prophets, the minor prophets, and there we have a speaker, Dingley Chan, is going to give us a sermon on Numbers chapter 25, and if you could all rise, online, if you could all rise, stand up, if you're able, for the reading of God's precious word. And after I read this lengthy passage, bear with me, after I finish, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord, and if you could all repeat together by saying, thanks, online, thanks be to God, and then you could have your seat. Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25. This is the word of the Lord. Please give your full attention to it. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye everyone his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came, brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the men of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the men of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was jealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now the name of the Israelite was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, the prince of the chief house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cozbi, the daughter of Zur, who was head over a people and of a chief house of Midian. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, vex the Midianites and smite them, for they vexed you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor, and in the matter of Cozbi, the daughter of a prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake. This is the word of the Lord. Together, thanks be to God for his word. You may be seated. Again, our speaker today is Dingley Chan. He is a Master of Divinity student at Robert Wesleyan, which is sort of southwest from here, maybe a little less than an hour or so. And he is part of the Chinese congregation, and he's serving as a leader for the New Olive group, which is sort of a college, post-college group at our church. And so please welcome him, Dingley Chan, to speak God's word to us this morning. Thank you.
morning. Thanks for the introduction from Pastor Young. So this passage, as you noticed, I use the KJV version. So just to be clear, I don't usually read Bible in KJV just for this sermon purpose. So it's kind of tell a different story than the NRSV or NIV tradition. So even that's probably against your like Sunday school reading if you read Sunday school in this story. I don't think so. But if you have like a different understanding of story, I ask you to bear with me today to read this story. Because it's kind of a very disturbing story when we first read it, right? Like, what is God doing? Why Phinehas spear, like take a spear or javelin in KJV and kill two people and God give him a covenant of peace? It's just so disturbing, right? So let's start with the beginning. Let me give a little bit introduction. So Karen, can we back to like the scripture reading?
Yeah.
Thank you. So this story is right after Balaam, the false prophet that tried to, the king of Moabite, tried to pay him some money and let him to do like a spiritual attack, a curse on Israel. But it did not work, right? Every time he tried to give a curse, it turned to be a blessing. So here, suddenly, and Israel abode in Shemton, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. So it's kind of interesting to see the prophet Balaam. Seems he knows how to use the correct spiritual attack on the Israelite. Not a very direct curse or prophecy, but tell the king of Moabite to say, just try to sell your daughter as a whore. And that's the way to disturb Israelite spirituality, how to disturb, try to strip them away from the protection of their God. And Balaam get it. The Israelites triggered God, put him in the jealousy, and commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. So they called the people unto the sacrifice of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. Let's go to the next slide. And Israel joined himself unto Baal-peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Clearly, it's not the first time Israel has been into this situation, right? And the anger of God from the later scripture, we know it's the plague started in Israel. Very quick plague, like what happened in Golden Calf, what happened in Party of Kola. Like every time when the anger of God start to happen in Israel, the plague start to killing the people in Israel, and everything is in an urgency. So let me ask you a question. What do you all do as a, let's say, like a member of the community, like a normal people? I mean, we have been through the plague, unfortunately, so when you start a plague, what do? You're waiting for the authority, right? Some people are waiting for the response from their company, like what we will do with the plague. And some people will do, yeah, we'll ask their pastor, say, pastor, what's this going on? What shall we respond to the plague? And some to the school. And as a normal people, I will wait for the authority. I will wait for the response of my leader. So clearly, the leader is Moses. So Moses is the one to intercede with God and give the response. Say, how should we respond? And I would say, unfortunately, Moses was experienced with this kind of situation. Just get rid of the people. Try to express the anger for God. Because God's jealousy, God's anger need to be expressed one way or another. One way is expressed by Moses to get rid or kill the people in the community. Another way is God's holy anger will consume the entire community. So, the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hand them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. People are dying. Moses needs to act, or the whole community will no longer be there. Let's go to the next slide. Next verse. And Moses tried to act, right? He has experience. He knows the command of God. He wants to act. He wants to save his community by expressing the anger of God. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay everyone his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. Let's go to the next verse. And behold, okay, we will stop here. And behold, seems everything going back to the right track, right? Like once again, the Israelite will be saved by Moses. But just tell them, kill everyone in the everyone commit to the idolatry in your community, and we'll be fine. God's anger will turn away. And behold, what's going on? It's a very interesting verse. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brother a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who are weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. It's so concerned. It's a very concerned verse. Well, like, what do you mean? Like, a brother came and everyone is weeping. Like, what is going on? So let's take some time on this verse. So, when Moses giving the command, we later be told the genealogy of these children of Israel. That's the prince of Simeonites. And his wife, the Midianitish woman he taken, is actually a princess of the Midianitish woman. That's but like it's interesting. Like they were not involved in all this, right? It's against the people who have idolatry and hold them with the Ammonites, Moabites, right? It's not about Midianites at all. So why they came to Moses? So here is my explanation. You can take it or not. This prince of Simeonites tried to save Israel people too, because he has his responsibility for his people. He wants to save his people in his tribe in a very ambiguity way, in a very ambiguous way. By what? By stopping Moses' command. Because if Moses' command will come down, the people in his tribe, the children in his tribe will be killed. So instead of, he wants the protection of his people. He come to Moses with what? With a Midianitish woman. How that gonna stop Moses? That's very sad. Because he caught the biggest weak point in Moses' whole leadership and career. Moses has a Midianitish woman as a wife too. He has a Gentile woman. He has a Gentile wife. And everyone seems in the congregation know that. But nobody ever brought that up and against Moses. But this prince of Simeonites bring that his wife as a Midianite woman to Moses and just confront Moses. Say, you want everyone who has that sexual relationship with Gentile women die? See my wife? She is a Midianite. And look at yourself. You had a sexual relationship with a Gentile too. You have a Midianite woman too. How are you able to dare to give that command? That to kill everyone who has relationship with Moabites. Stop it, Moses. He confronts Moses and strip away the authenticity and authority of Moses' command. It's in a desperation. What are you going to do? As a normal people, as one of the congregation, you stay with Moses, witness all those. See Moses in a distress. See Moses was attacked and powerless. even see Moses is weeping. Probably Moses is not, but the congregation is weeping. It seems nothing can be done. And while they're doing that, the plague is still killing the people, killing the brothers and sisters of Israel. It's the context. It's in all the darkness, in all the desperate. It seems God's anger will just consume the entire Israel. Down. Are you ready for the hero? Karen, that's good. What you will do if you, if you are not trying to weeping, probably you are weeping, but as a normal, like a community member, feel that powerless as we always feel sometimes when our leadership be questioned, when we have some discomfort with the church leadership, fellowship leadership, or even the whole Christianity leadership to be put into the question. Feel very concerned and feel very powerless. Who am I? Who am I? What should I do? If they fail, if they be put into question, if they could not act, how could I act at all? But the point is, someone needs to step out and be the hero. And someone needs to step out because they are zealous for God. Because this man wants to save Israel too. Just like the prince, Zimri, the name of the prince of Simonites. He wants to save the Israelites too. Not in a very ambiguity and like a playful way, like a trickery way. Try to keep a distort and fake peace among the congregation. He wants to express anger for God. He wants to do the right thing in the justice way. Okay, that's. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. Okay. He is not a, who is Phinehas? He is not one of us, but he is also not a priest. He is a son of priest. So he is a PK. What's that mean? He is not appointed as a priest. But he saw it. He rose up. He took a javelin. Wow. And people still dying in this context. People are weeping while dying. Everything is happening and it seems there can be no delay anymore. Probably past 1 minute, a couple people die. 1 minute, a couple people die. Some people need to rose up. Karen, next slide. Karen, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and struck both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. Every time reading this verse, it's just, if it's without any context, it's very disturbing. But Phinehas, first of all, it's not a passionate killing. Zealous is never means to be passionate and kill someone, get rid of someone. Phinehas put his life into this thing too. Because when Moses declared killing command, the Israel people come to Moses and Aaron, just ask him directly, why you kill our brothers? That's a question he could not avoid. He probably will just be die because of this killing. He wants to sacrifice himself too. Wow. God's anger needs to be expressed anyway, some way, somehow. The justice of God needs to be prevailed on this land.
I will all be consumed. Nobody act, so I will act. Nobody is moved, so I will rose up.
Take a javelin. I like to use the word spear because it's just like a more powerful word. I don't know, spear. Javelin is like threw out, but spear is like took it. And so he took his spear. He expressed the anger of God. So the plague, the anger of God, stopped. Let's go to the next verse. And we know. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Because his action, because he is zealous, because he is willing to confront that dysfunctional leadership, because he is willing to act, even the whole system is not working, but as an individual who is willing to put his own life on the risk to save his people, he was counted as zealous for God. And he was granted eternal priesthood. Let's go to the next. Wherefore, say, Behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. He was granted a covenant of peace, eternal priesthood, because he acts when nobody acts. He acts for justice of God as a zealous man. We can just finish the chapter and keep going, I guess. Yeah. So, the rest of the chapter is talking about who is this children of Israel, and who is this woman in Moabites? Midnish. They are prince and princess. And the last verse is talking about Moses. The God was telling Moses that they should go and attack Midianites because they were playing, they were vexed Moses, whilst they tried to manipulate Moses in a wicked way. By selling their daughter again, just like Moabites, but they sell their princess to attack Moses. So let's just go from here. Phinehas, covenant of peace, eternal priesthood, and that zealous for God. Did it remind you of anyone? Because I know a guy. I know a guy when the religious system in his society doesn't work at all. I know a guy who is willing to be zealous for God. Not by killing, because when it's developed, this idea keeps developing in Judaism. It starts to become an idea of just killing someone. And our society will be back to God's society again. Just get rid of some people and it should be fine. Developed to be that way. But what's real zealous? The real zealous is when this whole system doesn't work. You can't participate to be one of them, to express God's anger, to express God's justice. It doesn't work anymore. You just need to rose up, stand up to express God's anger. Yeah, I'm talking about Martin Luther. No, just kidding. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus, who is willing to rise up and just stand in front of every religious
leaders confront the whole dysfunction system and declare, this is the kingdom of God. It's His action. When I think about this, He is not the one to take a spear and spear other people. He was the one to actually get a spear stabbed into His body. He actually is the one who get the nails in His own hands. And when He granted the eternal priesthood, even right now, in the right hand of our Father, the mark of His zealous is still right there. When He showed up to Thomas, the mark of zealous, the hole is right there. Just leave an eternal mark on His eternal body as a zealous mark. It's the wound of healing. It's the wound of grace. It's the wound for the new creation of human being, but it is also a mark of Jesus' zealous, Jesus' zealotry. It's not that type of zealotry that just, let's kill someone, let's get rid of someone, let's put someone outside of our society, and we will back to our religious purity again. No. It's that calling. You stand up for yourself in the desperate, in the darkness, even in that little disappointment. I need to be honest. I was once disappointed about the leadership of my fellowship. But it's not the reason you stop working for God. I was not weeping, I was complaining and not working. I was not getting zealous for God. I was just getting like a weep. I want to keep peace in the fellowship. What's that will lead to? A forced peace. Nobody will benefit from that. It just keep that distorted function for a while. So, here, in the generation of Christian history, we have been always encountered the situation that when the religious leadership doesn't work that well in Rome, when the first time Christianity get into to be the national religion of Rome, the whole priesthood get corrupted. So the desert father stand up, have that zealotry to say, I want to have a pure life for God. That's zealotry. To give up all their privilege and enter into the desert to preserve the root of Christianity. That's a zealotry. When I think about Martin Luther, when the whole Catholic system doesn't work out, it's a whole distorted system. He stand up and put that 95 treaty on an attack for Catholicism on the church. He know he will be burned. He did not. He has clearly know that kind of zealotry Jesus have. It's that kind of zealous. You rescue your own life. You're not satisfied with that peace. When nobody get hurt. When everyone is in a smile and happy laugh. Nobody grow. Nobody knows what God is doing in our society. Or even in our community. Because we look around, it's all just superficial peace. But zealous. It's even nobody walks. Even the whole circumstance is not works. You stand up and call for the justice of God. Express the anger, express the mercy, express anything you feel. It's the burning fire. You can't hold it anymore in your heart. So you stand between God and your community as a priest. So Karen, can we go to next slide? Do we have, like, next? Do we have the reference for today? Okay.
I will finish the sermon with one verse from Titus. It's the word of God, of Titus, chapter 2, verse 4. Let's start with verse 14. Wow. It's a long one. Let's start with verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. Are you zealous for God? Because it seems for today, zealous is even not a very positive meaning vocabulary, but I want you to be zealous for God. Even a desperate, even awful a mess, you can stand and express God's justice around you. Shall I pray? Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, just in this moment, in this morning, thanks for your word, so we can go back to the history, to look back in the church history, to our own history, that we have probably been silenced for a long time to the things that is unjust, but we don't dare to say anything because we want to keep a peace around us, Lord. And let us pray. Don't get controlled by our passion, but to acknowledge what's the anger from you and say the word, act. When the whole thing is in the darkness, and Lord, may you in the eternal priesthood sit at the right hand of the Father, know our needs, and lead us into the light. And let us be a royal priesthood as a church, as a community. We pray all this in your name. Amen.